How are you all doing? So good to see you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for your generosity, everybody who's given towards the fit out of next door. We came in last night a little late and had a sneak preview walk through, and it's a really great project. So to everyone who's, like you said, who's worked hard, who's volunteered, who's donated time or resources and given into Vision Builders, what a great space for families. Yeah. Like, what a great space for kids and families and youth to just come in and experience God's love. So well done. Thank you, Toby. Just to add my thank you to that. And Tiani and all the kids team are pumped, right?
Oh, they're so excited.
How exciting. So yeah. Really awesome.
And thanks, any other mate. Parents, love, you get a cheek, sneaky look at the creche and the kids.
So
it's
good.
Just awesome.
Really
it's good. So awesome. Well, I guess before you end the interview, I'd love to ask Pastor, what's next, I guess? So we've kind of ticked that goal today.
Right.
As we look to the next
Fantastic.
12 months,
yeah,
what
really
do you
good.
See is next for our building?
So again, as you're saying then, if you're new here today or you've never been here for this time of year, Vision Builders, it is the giving program for current and future facilities. So we're fortunate our tithes and offerings covers the rent on the facilities here. Vision Builders is really about improvements, and it's about what we can do into the future. So there's two things in tension, of course. So when you're renting, you don't want to spend too much money on the rental because you want to save for your own place, right? But
yes.
Also you want to make the rental nice to live in while you're there.
Yes.
So in this, the next kind of phase is obviously there's some fit out and office equipment and equipment to make it a great youth space, a great kids space. We're going to have Alpha and all the Christian essentials in there.
Yep.
You need a desk or Dan or something to sit on.
I think so. Yes, yeah, it's quite bare at the moment.
I know. So just that. That's part of it, the fit out. Then we're going to turn our eyes more back to this side, and we're looking to actually create the foyer.
Yep.
To be a great space. We're not going to be able to have those dividers for much longer. We're growing.
They're
right?
moving back every
so
week.
We're growing, so that the goal would be ultimately that they would go, that we'd lift we'd sort of pull the sound area down and bring the sound guys into the room. The parents' room is going to move into your old office. And again, be knocked out so we have a high ceiling and a really great foyer where there's coffee and a really great hanging connection space so that then this can be the place of worship and connection. So that's part of it. And then at the same time, we're saving a deposit. We want to ultimately buy our own location. So that's the plan. What did they used to say? Rent money is dead money. So that's kind of that's the goal, is to buy a facility here. And so again, well done to everybody. And I know if you weren't here last week, we announced that Warren's come onto the board of our church, which is a great moment to have a Melbourne person on our C3 Powerhouse board, one church, two locations, yep. Soon to be three.
Come on,
and
yes.
And so Teresa will stay on our board, and she's moving to Sydney to plant, and she'll be also a member of our board. So we'll have a board member from each location, which oversees the governance and finances.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, it's exciting. Just
come
really,
on.
Really cool.
Yeah, that's so cool. Been such a great season as a church.
Uh-huh.
And I guess so, talking about the board, we have an awesome board member here today. So nice. It's such an honour to have you here, Dave. And I guess it. If someone hasn't met you, can you give us a 60-second introduction a little about who you are, your season of life, what you do for work?
So as part of C3 Powerhouse, I serve on the board, run a prayer group, help in pathfinders, business stuff. I help on the preaching team. So that's kind of what I do at church. In terms of my personal life, really quickly, I grew up in a Christian home in Germany. At a young age of 6, my dad fell sick and lost a 3-year battle with cancer, which kind of got us on a journey to moving to Australia. And we joined with another family, but the blended family vibe was dysfunctional. It didn't quite work out. So that's the kind of space that I lived my teens and early 20s. And rather than attending church, I guess it was more of the things in the world that impressed me and then really got a hold of me, just partying, mainly business and money and trying to chase money. So instead of Jesus having my heart, it was really money that had a hold of my heart and really dragged me into it, into a place of debt, anxiety. And I came to C3 Powerhouse about 13 years ago.
Wow.
And I got to know God for who he is as a provider, not just a religious figure that I thought I'd meet one day in heaven. And I got to connect with Jesus in a powerful way. And he helped us out of that, grew us and transformed Marina, my wife, and I into who we are today and just operating in our call and get to build the house alongside of you all as part of this amazing church. So thank you for all you do. And I love being part of this church.
That's awesome, Dave.
Dave's got, you got three great kids.
Yes, sorry, I didn't even mention my family. So,
let's just start the recording here pathway, right? So Marina doesn't hear that.
Yeah.
That's my story, but I'm married to a beautiful wife, Marina. She's from the Marshall Islands. She's an islander. I'm a German, so she's on island time. I'm very strict on time, but I've relaxed. She's gotten, and we've kind of met in the middle.
It's a party at your house, man. It's so good.
And three beautiful kids,
and
Isla.
Tell them what your business is.
So I run a digital agency. We've got a team of 10 people just building websites, doing online marketing for a whole heap of clients around Australia.
Awesome.
Thanks,
guys. So good.
What I love about David and Marina, so when they turned up, I mean, you were pretty dysfunctional in your family life. Yep, your life. Was it $60,000 in bad personal debt?
Yeah, credit cards, bad loans that nothing to show for.
Being chased for rent, you know, getting the door knocks, all of that. And you realise you need to get your, not just your heart in order with God, but your financial world in order.
It's true, yeah.
And it's been awesome to see that turn around. And you're now in your own house. God's blessed you. Your business is prospering. These guys are super generous to our church. And so when we talk about transformed lives holistically, these guys are just a poster couple for being transformed holistically in all of their life. So
that's awesome. So let's give Dave a hand. And make sure he's come say hi to him after the service. It's so cool. Well, Pastor John, I say obviously every week's a great week to listen to the podcast, but oh my gosh, if anyone was not here last Sunday, you preached an amazing message around Vision Sunday, around why you give into the house of God and around a biblical pattern out of 1 Chronicles around our giving program. So for anyone who wasn't here, could you just give us a quick
recap? Give us a wave if you were here last week or if you've listened to the message on podcasts. Okay, awesome. So pretty much I really jumped into 1 Chronicles 29 so that we would have a biblical foundation for what we're doing today.
Awesome.
So everything we do in our church is biblically based. It's not, we're not getting corporate ideas. We're not pulling things down from the latest trends out here. It's what's the Bible say? Yeah. So 1 Chronicles 29 is probably one of the first examples of an offering and giving towards a visionary project where David's, he's wanting to build a temple for God. He's not actually going to build it himself. His son Solomon's going to build it, but God gives him the download of what it's to be like. And so in 1 Chronicles 29, we see this pattern of how to prepare a group of people for a joint offering. And so what he does, first of all, he casts a compelling vision. So just a real quick snapshot. He casts a compelling vision. We're going to build this temple. It's going to be magnificent. It's for God. All around the world, people are going to know. It's going to be famous for bringing God glory. So he casts a vision. The second thing he does is by example. He says, I'm using the Israelite kingdom funds to help prepare, but then personally, I'm going to give. Yeah. So the compelling vision, and then out of his own, he said, literally he talks about the gold and the silver that he was giving for this project. In today's terms, it's the equivalent of $12 billion. Wow. And so he actually tells everybody, that's what I'm giving.
Yeah.
So he goes public with that.
Right.
And then he, after that, and I'll chat about that just in a moment, after that, he says, then all the leaders are giving. And so there, and it spells out what all the leaders of Israel are giving. Compelling vision, leader leads by example, the leaders are all in, and then he goes on and says the people gave joyfully.
Yeah.
And it's the pattern. You see this pattern in the New Testament numerous times, whether it's for a relief offering, there's a range of different types of offering going on. And so that's the pattern when we spend these 2 weeks each year talking about giving, and we go, what's the vision? The vision's to see lives transformed.
Yeah.
The vision's to see Darren and more Darrens, all right? That's that's what we're, so that the buildings are just to house that,
yeah,
okay?
Right.
Then the second, so that we do that. So Danielle and I are really happy to share how much we give. And sometimes I remember when I first heard this happen, because I've grown up in church, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're telling people how much you're giving. Don't you know about the scripture with the left hand and the right hand?
Yeah.
And like, and what I realize is Jesus is saying, when you're being charitable in your giving, or when you're fasting personally, or when you're praying personally, don't do it to show how spiritual you are.
Right.
Do it privately before God and he'll reward you.
Good.
But when we're all having a corporate fast, you can tell other people you're fasting.
Totally.
Because it encourages them.
Right.
You can tell other, so when we've got a corporate goal, it's great to say, hey, I'm in, I'm sacrificing. And so the example of David was an inspiration.
Yes.
The New Testament, we find that lots of them, they knew that Barnabas sold land and gave it. That was the practice. It wasn't a private thing on the side. The Bible introduces him. This is Barnabas. He had land. He sold it and gave it to the apostles.
Yeah.
So that's the example. So we would, Danielle and I, we started giving $5,000 in our first building fund. We would average $25,000 each year. Not that spare, but just as part of our, we're committed. We want to see people's lives transformed.
That's crazy.
Then we've got a whole group of leaders. And so, you know, that first offering we gave of $5,000 was a car we sold. And so then from there, that's kind of been our minimum. And so there's a whole range of leaders in our church. It's a group we just call Vision Investors. It's either the leaders in the church, all of our board, our executive team, all would do that level of giving. And then there's a range of people with a gift of giving. And they're like, okay, well, that's the starting place for me to really stretch and jump into that. So, again, it's kind of a few times a year we meet with those people to encourage them in their gift.
Right.
And this year I did say I'm believing for 100 Vision Investors across our two locations.
Awesome.
Last year we would have about 70. And so that's just a great, I think, an aspirational thing for people to go, okay, I'm going to stretch and believe. And then people give joyfully. So that's the pattern. It usually requires sacrifice. And it usually, I can't actually think of a year I've got to going, I've got some spare money lying around. What am I going to do with that? It's usually it's usually people going, I love, and that's your why. I love the house of God. Why do you give?
That's
so
awesome.
I want to tell you I shared my whys. I was thinking about this. I sent you guys a little photo. So one of my whys is I really love what God does generationally in families. So if you've got the little photo that I gave to Toby before, I'll get you to put it up. I'll wait for it because it needs explaining. And if not, here it is. All right.
Oh.
So this is a volunteer celebration night that we had in our church many, many years ago with Neil and Suzanne Newman and their girls. And you see that little princess over there? That's Ebony. The little one over on the side, and we're just welcoming them and honoring them. And so for me, when I think about my why sacrifice holidays, why sacrifice stuff, it's because I love seeing generational transformation. I love seeing families growing up in the house of God. I love it. I love it to see that and to watch Eb grow into this beautiful woman of God and to see her up here leading with boldness and confidence and anointing. I'm like, oh, that's way better than so much other things that I could spend my money on. So that seeing the lives transform. So that's just some of my whys, and it's really good to tap into your why when you're stretching and sacrificing, because that's the reality.
Yeah. Awesome. Beautiful. Said it's a tissue Sunday. I don't know why I'm crying. And now her son's in the house of God. It's beautiful.
Awesome.
Dave, can I ask you, what's your why?
Yeah, good.
okay.
Yeah, I can answer that. My why, for me, at the core of it, I believe it's a spiritual gift the gift of giving. It's a spiritual gift and a calling that's on my life. So I think it's in a place of obedience for me to start with. That's what I'm called to. So I'm going to operate in that gift at the maximum that I can, and I'm going to go after it. But then, so generosity, you could give anywhere. There's thousands of funds and things like that. But my why and why I give into C3 Powerhouse is just my story is that I didn't have a church like this. And I was drawn away because I didn't understand Jesus at the level that I understand who he is now. And it's the teaching, it's the leadership, and then seeing the fruit of that. The stories like this morning, every single one of you, and just the fire that's in the house. I love this. So I just love being part of what God's doing at C3 Powerhouse.
So cool. Yeah, come on. Let's give the Lord a hand. And I just think for all of us, and Pastor John challenged us on this last week, just take some space and time to really think about what is your why. Right. And it might be why you serve. Why are you part of our vision? Why do you give to Vision Builders? And what a beautiful thing just to write down and has a reminder of that's our why.
That's awesome,
I think that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
But I guess I'd love to ask, I might start with you actually, Dave.
Yep.
What is the difference between tithing and what we're talking about today,
generosity.
Giving,
yeah.
generosity? Yeah, how'd you explain that?
Great. For me, again, I grew up in a Christian home, but I was never a tither. It's and there was a lack in my life. But for me, tithing is just the first 10% of everything that God gives to me. That's set apart. It's holy and it's his. So I'm returning 10% of everything God's given to me, and that's week after week after week. And that just, for me, that just shows, God, you've got my heart. Yeah. So every week I release that 10% and I give into the house. It's not generosity. I don't see it as generosity. I see this as, this is my commitment that I'm going to keep my heart pure and that I'm going to stay connected with, because the Bible says you either serve money or mammon.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, mammon or God. Money or mammon, sorry. Yeah. Mammon or God. And so it's a declaration every week for me. 10% goes to the Lord. So that's tithing for me.
How did you go when you kind of realized it's all messed up and we're in debt?
Yeah.
And like we need to, you cut your credit cards up, right?
Yeah, I bound them. And so powerful, the ministry in our church on the front. So I cut them up. I just came to a point where I knew that we have authority over spirits. It says that in the Bible, trampling snakes and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. And I knew that there was a spirit attached to this that just kept dragging us back in, and I couldn't break of it. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do a declaration act. I'm just going to cut these cards up. I'm going to actually wrap tape around it. So I had masking tape around it, and I came to the altar and I said, I need to just break this.
Amazing.
I knew you were going to cry.
It wasn't if, just
not, it's not a panel if less, unless there's tears. So then you started to tithe. I mean, because here's the thing, lots of people might say, well, why don't you just quickly prioritize paying off your debt?
Right.
But rather than doing that, you're like, okay, God, I'm going to actually put you first and get your help in paying off my debt.
Yeah, that, and this is not financial advice, but for me, it was, but it's supernatural. It's relying on God and what he can do. And I think God really wanted to show me that he's a provider, that he is a father that you can actually come to with requests and partner with him. And for me, it was like, okay, for my family, we're going to be tithers. So we just made a statement and stuck to it. And then out of that place, I can then make my request known to God. And I said, God, but I need your help with this.
Right.
And I want to go on a journey. Yeah. And I didn't get a check in the mail. no miraculous check. I know God can move in those ways. But for me, God really
Some
wanted
people
to...
people hear like, what's a check?
Yeah.
You're a bit old over there, mate.
A deposit in your account?
Yeah, just random money showing up. It was none of that. I think for me, the journey was that God just wanted to show me there is different areas in finance. There is the belief, like your faith, but also good stewardship, that you've been given this money. You've got to be a good steward with it. And tithing is one of those aspects of that. Generosity is another one. And then looking after your family, not just blowing it on partying and feel-good experiences.
Right. Yeah.
So, awesome, so it was a big thing for me, even though it meant that it was going to take longer to get out of debt. But we can probably talk about this later on. It was miraculous how quickly we got out of debt.
You stepped into the God provision zone by going, I'm getting into alignment with your way.
Right.
So then the provider can get involved because you're getting into alignment.
Yeah, 100%.
And just quickly, Pastor John, if someone is sitting here, and I guess in this season, Vision Builders and everything, but is still on the journey towards tithing, wrestling with it, what would be your encouragement to them?
I just think, just be really clear, like if you're new into your faith and you're new with Jesus, the church doesn't want your money. That's not what we're here for.
Right.
That's not the deal. You don't have to give to be loved, accepted, and part of the family in this house.
Right.
You're welcome, okay? But here's the thing. So the first thing is give Jesus your heart. let him into your life. Yep. Experience his love. He's kind. Then whatever you let him touch in your life, he blesses. Yep. It starts to shift. And so I talked a bit last week about rooms in your heart.
Yep. Right.
And like there's a room in our heart, the money room. And to let him in, to go, okay, you're better at money than I am. I'm going to trust you. So that first step, step one, give Jesus your heart. Let him start bringing healing and transformation. Then there'll come a moment where he goes, hey, I want to bless you. Yeah. So let him into your financial world. And the way you do that is start to tithe. Yeah. So for some people today, your first step into letting God get into that part of your heart, which is really important, is to start to tithe. Yeah. You don't have to give in Vision Builders. It's just like, okay, I'm going to start to honor God. Brilliant. And then for other people, you're already a tither. So it, today might be more about stepping into that zone of sowing.
That's so cool. I'm so grateful we talk about this stuff. It's so helpful. And hearing your story, Dave, is so inspiring. But I guess so. You touched on this earlier, Pastor John. So as you shared, there's generally not money to sit there ready. So therefore, there is sacrifice involved. And so can you share a little bit about what's the biblical application around sacrifice and why do you feel it's important?
Yeah, there's like the Bible's full of stories of supernatural provision. So God, one of his names is Jehovah Jireh.
Right.
So by his very nature, just like he's a healer, just like he's a savior, he's a provider. So there's some great stories in the Bible where men of God come to people, widows, and actually say, okay, God's going to be your provider, but before you do, what I want you to do is bake me some bread. There's stories in the Bible where a woman gives two mites, like a tiny little amount. Jesus is watching and he honors her for it. There's moments where a kid gives his bread and his loaves, and in the giving to Jesus, which is sacrificial, he's like, oh, am I going to miss out? But instead of missing out, Jesus does what God does, which is he multiplies stuff. So sacrifice is never, you don't earn God's favor by sacrificing. You don't make him like you anymore by sacrificing. What you do is a trust thing, and it's a matter of obedience. And he goes, hey, I want to get involved. And the way that you can let me get involved is by making a choice to sacrifice. And we've got families in our church. These guys are examples. We're examples. There's so many people, some who, you know, for a while lived on Vegemite sandwiches because they were being obedient to God to step out to honor God. And, you know, there came a point where that shifted, but it starts with sacrifice.
Cool. I might come to you first, though. I guess it's on a similar thread. If someone's sitting here and going, all right, I feel God calling me to be part of Vision Builders, or some people, they are, you know, regularly, but I guess just how have you come up with the figure that you feel God wants you to give? And so maybe talking to a bit of the how, and I just am curious how much of it is logical versus the God gap and obedience. Good. Love to hear, and I'll come to you next, Pastor John. But yeah, for you, what does that look like, Dave?
Yeah, great. Good question. So when I joined C3 Powerhouse, I had no idea about this stuff. So I didn't even know, like I said, I wasn't a tither, let alone understanding that there's beyond tithing and generosity. So I had no idea about this, so I'm glad we're discussing it. For us, early on, it's really just been a heart thing, but I was inspired by other people that went before me. So it was stories like Pastor John sharing their numbers, other people, and I was like, wow, if they're giving that much, how much are they earning? So that kind of impressed
me. Such a businessman.
That was going, at the time, that was going through my heart, and God's helped me go on a journey around that to, it's not about that, but that impressed me. So early on, I was like, okay, I have that goal to be as part of Vision Investors. So that was my goal. So I did that. And then we wanted to grow in our giving. So it was kind of just like we agreed upon it, Marina and I, and we're like, okay, this year let's aim for this. So it's really just being goals.
Can I just stop you there? We'll keep going.
Yeah.
Agree. Just talk into that a bit. So you're married. How do you get on agreement? How does that look like for you? And then, sorry, keep going.
Yeah. Usually what happens is that there'll be the faith pledge and then the other person's like, oh, well, let's be real here. So, and then the pledge there. So we talked it out and there's been different occasions. One time we both, like it was actually on Vision Builder Sunday and I had a visitation where a man was was downloaded to me and at the same time to Marina. And it was the same. So we're in unity right there and then. But other times it's like, okay, cool. And let's land somewhere great. Where we know it's still going to stretch us, because I don't want it to be easy. That's just me personally. I want it to feel like I'm sacrificing. I'm actually doing something that's hurting me. Because when you give your time, it hurts me because it takes my time away. But I want it to be the same with my generosity. I want to feel it. So, but there's also been times when we've pledged too much. So one thing I've learned from you, Pastor John, is the 80-20 rule. So I look at our finances and our projections, and I look at, okay, out of this figure, can I do 80%? Because, and this is, I guess, me on the board, Dan as well, sorry, Pastor Dan, that we use these figures to make projections for our churches as well. So so for me, it's like, okay, I can do 80% because I know that people rely on this money as well. But then I'm believing that God's going to come through on the 20. I don't know how.
Right.
It's going to have to be supernaturally.
Which is better than the whole lot you don't know how.
Yeah, right.
You know, rather than
so it can't just be
I feel really excited. I should give that and I'll trust that God will drop it in my account. And yeah, well, look, I think we've all had moments where we got carried away and made a faith pledge.
Yeah, right.
And then had this sort of embarrassment or learnt like oh, okay, maybe we need to be better at a planned giving, I
yes.
think.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And talk to your leaders.
Yeah.
Like we talk to our vision builders and vision investors all the time, so I'm happy to talk to everyone here today as well and just say, here, this is what I'm thinking. And then it's for me, it's really what it's been for us. It's like going to the gym. It's a muscle that you build. It's something you grow into as well.
Very good. Really good. So Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, I want you to excel in giving. You excel in all these other things to the church. I want you to excel in giving. And he goes on and he says, don't give out of manipulation. Don't give begrudgingly. Give cheerfully.
Yeah.
And then he goes on and he says, so let everyone as they purpose in their heart.
Yeah,
right. So it tells me that there's two dynamics going on. One is the supernatural moment where you pray and God gives you a figure.
Right.
Or you know, like for me, I saw car keys being dropped in a bucket.
Yep.
So sometimes there's a moment and you really get a sense from God, this is how much.
Mm-hmm.
And God's quite kind. Or you know, I think if you're married, often a spender marries a saver, a saver marries a giver. Like, you know, you all have a tendency. So that's where you got to work it out. And you're better to go less and be in agreement than go higher and create tension.
Yeah.
So that would be just to and see God work in that.
Yeah.
So, but so then you, okay, your purpose in your heart. So, yeah, you really sit down and go, Lord, how can I do this over the next 12 months? I'd like to give this much. How can I do it? And sometimes that's literally, and I think we shared this last week, we've gone without clothing budget. We've gone without for a year. We wore clothes, just to be clear, but we went without a clothing budget.
Evan, I should do that next year.
Really,
that sounds great.
Really, yeah, yeah. We've gone without takeaway food budgets. We've gone without holiday budgets just for a year as a sewing thing. Other years we've been creative and we've sold property. Other years, because God spoke to us. Other years we had some overseas students come to help us create money to. So there's different ways, but ultimately that's don't just think God's going to write the number on the wall.
Right.
Sometimes He really does, but usually, and it doesn't have to be bigger every year. There's no competition. Your season changes.
Yeah.
You know, you might have a baby, and so suddenly instead of having two incomes, you've got one. There's just practical common sense. What we actually want you to prosper.
Come on.
That's the bottom line. We want you to do well.
Awesome.
I want you to own houses. We want your families to be blessed. We want your kids to go, man, my parents raised me in a house that was loving and we saw God's favor
for that.
But we know that the way you step into that is through obedience.
So
you give God something to multiply back to you.
And that's the theme I'm hearing through both of your answers is that word obedience. You both create space to, I know Eb and I, that's kind of our heart.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, 13 years in that, it says, we're coming into June. We try to create space and time and just go, let's look to the Lord together. And our heart before, and this is how we do it, before we get into the budget logic is, Lord, what do you want us to do?
Right.
And that's our heart posture.
Yes.
Every year,
that's
that's our hope is
that's
that
really
it's obedience.
Good. What do you want us to do, and then how are we going to do that?
So, yeah. Dave, just in a few minutes, do you mind just sharing maybe, I guess, an example? You alluded to it before of maybe there was a year you gave a pledge and you weren't able to fulfill it.
Yeah.
Can you just share maybe an example of How did that make you feel? And I guess, what did it look like? What did you actually do in that situation?
That's great. Yeah, probably I'll tell an example earlier on, because there, as I said, you grow in your giving as well. And early on, it is very sacrificial. And I'll be very honest, like, we gave, but then we still had this debt thing that we had to work with as well. And God was still refining us in our spending as well. So there was definitely spiritual blowback. And one year we made a pledge, and we believed we could do it, but we just didn't get there. Now, the beautiful thing was, we
took... How much was the pledge?
That one that year was 12 grand. So, I talked to our vision builder director at the time, and he was just so gracious. And I love that. And that's just Jesus as well. He loves that we're generous. He doesn't put a timeline on it. Like, we go year on year, but he also understands that things change and seasons change. So for me, it was a lot of pressure and I felt guilt and shame, but I was just released in that moment. And he's like, well, why don't you just finish it up next year?
Yeah, roll it over.
And that's kind of what we did in that year, that we couldn't quite get there, but we did complete that pledge. Because for me and for Marina, for us, it's a vow to God. It is something that I'm making to God, and I want to fulfill my vows. Yeah. And I want to honor the words that I speak and write down, and I pledge. But it's just... sometimes things change. So that was a growth period where we're like, okay, we may have overshot, but we're going to do it. And then the sacrifice came in. But in another year, it's just, I heard God, but again, it was the timeline. So maybe I wasn't ready. And we didn't finish that year as well. I was already understanding of everything of the first experience. And then again, it's a matter of, okay, well, let's finish it the next year. So I guess there's no guilt, no shame. It's about
so good.
Yeah, it's about just let's go again then.
I love that.
Yeah, and that's the conversation. And so for Melbourne, Dan, you're effectively our Vision Builders director here. So if something changes through the year and you want to roll it over, it's just a conversation. And there's absolutely no guilt. So it's hard intention. And then we roll from there.
So cool. Well, I guess where I'd love to land this conversation, it's been so helpful, but let's talk around faith. I think, obviously, obedience is a big part of this, and faith is going to be a big part of this. And so maybe each of you could just touch on, why is faith so important? And maybe are there examples in your life where you really have seen God break through on the other side of your faith?
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever would like to go first?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's there can sometimes be a lag between when you step out and then when you see God's provision flow. And that's okay. That's why knowing your why is really important. So while you're in a stretch and sacrifice zone, you can keep going, I'm believing God. So so much, and I did write a book about the wheels of financial blessing. But for me, you know, one of our early Vision Builder pledges, we were in our own house. The driveway was gravel. We didn't have a double garage. We thought, you know, we're saving to do a concrete driveway, double garage. The Lord spoke to us, make a sacrifice, give $25,000. So we took that money, we sewed it into a Vision Builders for that particular year, believing that God would supernaturally provide. So that's my mindset. When you do give, your why is to build the kingdom of God. But the Bible is very clear that what's happening is that money is seed that in God's hand he can multiply and do way more with that than what you can do. So after a while we're praying about it, and you know, I inquired to counsel, what's it going to do? How do we get a driveway? There's a crossover in the gutter. Can you know? And they're like, no, that'll cost you $3,000 for us to come and do that. Like, oh gosh, this is expensive. So God gave me a scripture in my daily reading out of Psalms, and it says the hard pathways of the righteous drip with abundance. I'm like, awesome. Okay, God, we're going to get a hard pathway. So then this crazy thing began to happen. Someone in our church had no idea what was going on. I got twice given $500 check, there's that word again, with the scripture, the paths of the righteous drip with abundance.
Wow, that's cool.
I had no idea that was our scripture. I'm like, okay, God, you're on this. So often it's a series of miracles. Often you're praying. And so one day I was literally praying the scripture. I look out the front, the council's there cutting out the crossover gutter and putting in a laid-back gutter. And we didn't order it. And it was literally as I was praying that scripture.
Wow, that's awesome.
Then we had a change. We had someone renting and a little part of the house. They moved. We were able to go to market rate, and that return on investment allowed us to do it. So it's kind of like we just you get into the God zone, and then that investment kept going with on increased income. So that's just one example of the what you sacrifice is often what God blesses you back with. We've seen it in cars. We've seen it in houses where we've sacrificed those things. So that's my experience.
I love that. That's cool. Hey, quick story. So for us, it was probably 2018 on Node because that's the year we got into our home. But at that stage, we were still breaking down our debt. So we were still in debt, but we started to save for our deposit as well. And that year, we made the biggest Vision Builders pledge we ever made. We gave the biggest powerhouse offering that we ever made. And we knew God had a house for us. That was a dream. That's a desire that he put in our house. So we're like, God, we want to partner you with this year. So that was the faith component. We knew that God was going to come through for us. But I also know in faith journeys, there's the works, like we're going to give, we're going to do this thing. But also I needed to have scripture. So one of the scriptures that we stood on in I think it was Jeremiah, I'll build myself a roomy house. I'll cut the windows out of cedar plane and paint the house red.
Wow.
And we went, my mate sent me this listing, and he's like, oh, you should check this out. And the price was way above what we could afford. And I was like, yeah, dreams are free, right? But then God, like, he prompted us, and it's just go to the open home. And we went there, and I'm like, this is amazing. It was an open space home. The windows were all paneled in wood, and the roof was red. And we went in, and she gave us the price. It was way above. The guy had it on realestate.com for $1 million plus. This was back in 2018. And it was going to auction. So we went along to the auction. It didn't put our hand up because we weren't even approved for finance yet. But then we put an offer in, and it was...
Marina had a dream. Tell them.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so Marina had the dream as well back when we first started dating. And we walked into the house, and she goes, Dave, this is the house. Like, this is the house that amazing. I saw looking out of this window.
In a dream when you were dating.
When we were still, late in our teens.
Just to clarify, any police listening.
Not that sort of church, late in just our to be teens. Clear.
So there was the dream, but then the faith component came in because we made an offer. And it was way below what he wanted. Like the real estate agent said, David, I nearly fell off my chair. Never in my life have I got an offer like that. And I was like, this is all we can do. This is all we can afford. And she gave it to the. I get emotional because. and she gave the offer to the guy, and he's like, I love this story, and I love the house.
The dream, right?
Yeah, I love the dream. I love that it's going to go to someone who's really going to value this house.
And he had higher offers.
He had higher offers than us in the that were in there, and we ended up getting the house literally 250 grand below market value.
Wow.
And we made it in.
How cool was that?
That's incredible.
Awesome. What was your pledge that year? You said you gave your biggest pledge.
That was 30 grand.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then you've increased since then. How good is that? That's the supernatural.
Come on.
You step into a supernatural realm.
I love that.
But your faith has to engage at the same time. So it goes hand in hand.
Obedience and faith.
Really cool.
Well, guys, I hope you've enjoyed this conversation as much as me. Can we give a massive hand to Pastor John and Dave Crowder? Thank you so much.
Awesome.
And I'm actually going to...